Oh man, I feel so bad. I know I always make fun of Brandy for being late to stuff, but your boy is definitely the late one. So, has this on me. Let's call her.
Bing bong boom. Hello? All right, what's your excuse? What thing were you at?
Okay, so I'm trying to join a country club right
now. Oh my gosh.
I'm really sorry.
That's the excuse. You are old.
I know. All right, Brandy, I've been stressed out recently. I mean, just don't even try to turn on the news. It's just immediately getting serious anxiety. So I've been decompressing with a new game called Solitaire Grand Harvest. Have you heard about it?
No, but you know, Rye loves a game. So tell me the deets so I can share.
Okay, so Solitaire Grand Harvest is a super relaxing treat for the mind, full of fun and challenging levels that you can play anytime, anywhere. Play your cards right to advance and earn an hourly bonus based on how many crops you grow. And the more you play, the more crops you can harvest and the more bonuses you can collect. It's solitaire like you've never seen. And here's the thing, free to play. And you know what I say, if it's free, it's for me. And I'll take three. You can connect your social accounts to see how your friends are progressing in the game. You can have some friendly competitions while you're stuck at home. And when you need to take a load off, Solitaire Grand Harvest is a fun way to unwind. So whether you're stuck inside or just dreaming of the great outdoors, now you can have a fun farm style getaway right at your fingertips.
Download Solitaire Grand Harvest for free today in the Apple App Store, Google Play, and Amazon.
Brandi, I am obsessed with my blend jet. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, it's basically like a...
literally a travel blender.
Yeah, it is amazing. Making healthy food super easy with blend jet, your blender on the go. So the new and improved blend jet 2 quietly crushes through ice and frozen fruit. Plus, you can use it every day for 2 weeks before charging it with any standard USB port.
Just go to blendjet.com/YFT right now to save an extra 12%.
That's blendjet.com/YFT. You gotta get this thing. I sent out a tweet earlier today and I said, let's make chicken stock from scratch so the kitchen smells really good years old.
That
is where I'm at right now. Which, by the way, making soup makes your house smell so good.
Well, no, don't cook.
Oh, man. We should get Rye on to cooking some soups. I mean, like, even if you don't like soup, dude.
Who doesn't like soup?
That's a thing. I'm a big soup guy. Huge
big.
Soup guy.
Especially in the winter.
My roasted vegetable soup, I'm telling you, wars have been fought over stuff like this.
Uh-huh. What do you cook your soup in? Are you like an Instapot guy?
Oh,
crockpot
no.
Guy.
I got a nice Le Creuset crockpot. Oh. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think to be fair, it's like a knockoff Le Creuset crockpot. So it's, but it looks like it. From afar, you'd be like, that guy's bougie.
Yeah.
But then you come close and you're like, that guy got the Walmart knockoff version of it. But whatever. And here's what I do. I'll tell you, Brandy. I'll tell you, because I've done this for cooking wells, but I'm going to tell you it's called my lazy man soup. So here's what you do. First of all, you got to make your stock. Anytime you cut vegetables up and you have the ends that you'd throw away, throw that in a little plastic bag, okay? And you just throw that in the freezer. Then you have all this extra ends of onions and like the ends of squash or the white part of celery that you don't eat ever, you know, like all that stuff. Once you compile enough of that stuff, you put it in a pot, throw in some water, throw in some salt, throw in some garlic, some onion or whatever, and make yourself a nice little stock. Okay, it'll make the house smell glorious. But you can also buy like chicken stock or vegetable stock or beef stock from the store, whatever. Here's what you do. You dice up some garlic and some onions, okay? You throw that into your crock pot with a little bit of olive oil. You sweat those down a little bit. Make the house smell so good. Oh my God. Then what you do, you cut up whatever your vegetables that you have in the refrigerator. This is why I call it lazy man soup. Tomatoes, boom, throw it in there. Celery, got it? Throw it in there, boom. What else you got? Carrots? Carrots are key in soup. Throw that in there. What else you got? You got some beets? Great. Throw that in there. Some squash? Okay. Let's do it. Chop all that up. Throw in some olive oil, some salt and pepper. Flip it over a little bit. In the oven, under the broiler, okay? For like 20 minutes, because you want to get some of those vegetables kind of like black, like blackened, you know?
What?
Then you throw that back into your crock pot with all the sweated down onions and garlic, okay? Then you fill up that crock pot with the stock that you've got up to the vegetable line, okay? Or maybe even a little bit above. Then you start cooking. You cook until those vegetables are nice and soft. Then you get your emulsifier, or if you have a blender or a Cuisinart, whatever, you throw it into the blender or emulsify it. So it's just like one big mush. Then you throw it back on the stove, maybe throw in a little bit more stock, add some salt, some pepper, maybe some turmeric. Fuck, I don't know. Cumin, whatever you're feeling, go do it. And then
I got to be honest, I fell asleep at carrots.
Oh, I got some downstairs. I'm gonna eat some later.
This sounds very hard.
Delicious, though. My house smells like...
What are you drinking?
Like a Panera Bread company. A little Tecate. Huh. So anyways, how you living?
Well, I'm drinking coffee because it's bedtime over here.
I know. I'm really, really sorry. And I always give you shit for being late. And I did in the preamble before the show started. I was like, this is on me. I'm late and I'm really sorry. Your boy's got to join the country club.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta live that country
club. Well, lucky for you, it gave me time to watch some of The Bachelorette.
Good, because I haven't watched any of it.
It's actually my favorite episode thus far in the season.
Hurtful, because the last one I was in.
The last one? Boring. But I think we should start the show before we get into The Bachelorette.
You, me, who is it?
I think it's my turn.
Go for it.
Bros and hoes, you're listening to your favorite thing podcast with
Wells and Brandy.
Okay, I also have to say, I don't often / hardly ever listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
But
it's good to know.
The pano But the pano bit we did last week, oh my God. I felt like Rye deserved to hear it since it was all about him.
Did he hear it?
Yeah, we listened to it in the car yesterday. I've never laughed so hard in my dang life. That was the funniest shit. And Rye was laughing and we were loving it. And I just got to tell you, like, the reviews from the YFTers on Instagram about Rye's panos, like, they're loving it. It was, everybody loved the bit. Like, honestly, I think it's our best work so far. Who would have thought?
Brandy's one big bit. Oh my gosh.
Well,
it was a funny bit. I will give you that. You didn't even know it was a bit.
No, I didn't.
Quick pano.
I really thought we would do it. And yeah, people thought it was funny. But when I tell you that they have demanded the panos, like, that's all the comments and messages I received for days after the episode came out was, where are the panos?
So yeah.
I finally posted them. People love them.
See?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Rye's on to something here.
Oh, he's funny.
What did he think it was funny?
Oh, he loved it. He thought it was hilarious. I tried to get him to come on here today and talk about it because I was like, come on. It was such a big moment. Like, the YFTers deserve to hear your thoughts on it. And he was like, what am I going to say? I like panos.
Yeah.
Like, that was all. He was like, I don't know what else there is to say.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, then don't come. Great.
I mean, fair enough. Like, we know where he stands on panos, you know?
We do. Yeah. One of the YFTers had a great suggestion. She said that Rye should create an Instagram account called Big Pano Guy and only post panos.
Oh,
I like it.
Yeah. I do love Big Pano Guy. That's not a bad idea at all.
I know. I'm here for it.
Why don't you just do it for him and just, you've got all of them.
Yeah.
You just run Big
Before
Pano
Before you know
guy.
It, I'll be like, so Rye, can I get a quick pano of you with these Eggo waffles? Hashtag ad.
I need you to say swipe up, use promo code Big Pano Guy. Why would I say that? Don't worry about it. Just do it.
Sorry, just real quick. It's too good.
Oh, man. I'm going to go start Big Pano Guy. Steal it from you.
Oh, why is it so funny?
That's great. Okay, so your favorite episode of The Bachelorette.
It is. It's really good.
All right, so just so people aren't mad at me, it's not that I didn't watch it. We're recording this a couple days before, and I didn't have time to watch the screener, but you did.
because you were at a country club schmoozing with 70-year-old dudes.
Fair enough. I have no retort to that.
Oh, in polo shirts and probably Rolex watches. So,
I'll tell you this. You know who I got to see today?
Who?
Joe Pesci.
I don't know who that is.
You know who Joe Pesci is.
Never heard his name in my life.
Have you ever seen a movie called Goodfellas?
No.
Have you ever seen Home Alone?
Yes, I've seen Home Alone.
Yeah. So he plays, is it Marv? He's the one, the short one.
Oh.
How okay. How do you not know who Joe Pesci is?
I don't know. Never heard his name.
Oh my God. What? I got to say, I mean, that's pretty cool.
Sounds right.
All right. So tell me about Bachelorette.
Yeah. Lucky for the wife tears, I watched most of it. I didn't quite make it to the rose ceremony, but I watched most of the episode. So I loved this episode. At first, I was like cringing at this date. Of course, they have the guys do a stupid songwriting date. But I think what's so great about this is, like, usually there's a couple of actual musicians and then a small handful of other, like, Nashville dudes who think they're musicians that are, like, do this sometimes. These guys have zero music talent at all. And it made it hilarious. They were all so bad.
Okay.
So bad. It's like, I just really, I wish you'd seen it because I feel like there would be a lot of things that you would say to poke fun at them for how freaking bad it was.
Oh, God.
I know. I really wish you'd seen it. Songwriting date, cringy. Everyone's terrible. Tayshia really, I think, thought it was endearing because everybody really went for it. Like, I think everyone knew that they were horrendous at it. Honestly, Blake was the worst. I was like, put down the instruments. Just put them down. Mm-hmm. He was like playing the instruments like obnoxiously bad because he knows he can't play them. And it was just horrible sounds. And then his voice was also a horrible sound. And together it was just a horrible sound.
Mm.
However, do you know who Ivan is?
No clue.
Okay. Well, you're going to know after this episode. Sweet, sweet Ivan. Listen, I've always liked Ivan because his career listed under his name is astronautical engineer.
Oh, yeah. Aeronautical engineer.
Aeronautical engineer. Something that sounds real smart and real cool.
He's a big
Big Pano guy. I wouldn't be shocked. I've always had my eye on him because I'm like, you have a cool job. So that's cool. But he's really quiet. So he does this like really sweet, really sincere poem to Tayshia. Mm. And his move is no one else did it. He was like, why don't you come up here on stage and sit next to me? You're just so far away. And that solidified the win for him. Mm. So the winner of the songwriting date got like a one-on-one. Okay, dare I say, Ivan and Tayshia had the most authentic one-on-one date I've ever seen on the show.
Wow.
Like, yeah, it's boring. They're not traveling. It really must really suck to be stuck in La Quinta. And in previous episodes, I think that's been frustrating to be like, all right, how many freaking like wrestling basketball matches can we have in the freaking pool? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so for this date, all they did was Ivan like went to her suite and they had like quote unquote like casual Friday night at home. And she was like, this is great because this is like what we're actually going to do in real life. It was so cute. Tayshia does a really good job, I feel like, of making the guys feel really comfortable right away. I don't know. She just like has that way about her, I feel. So he comes in and she's like, all right, we're going to order room service, but the phone's in the bedroom. They're in the living room. And then she jumps on the couch and she's like, the floor is lava. So she like immediately makes like an activity out of it. You know what I mean? So they're so cute. They like make their way to the room and they have a cute pillow fight, having so much fun. And at first I'm like, I don't know, this might have best friend vibes written all over it. You know what I mean? Like it was a little too much like a girlfriend having a pillow fight. But then they come back to the living room. And they start having like a deep, deep, meaningful conversation, which Rye would call a DMC, deep, meaningful conversation. They both get emotional. Like first he starts talking about his brother. I don't want to ruin it for you, but his brother was in prison and they're very close. And he just like got really emotional talking about how hard that was for him and just his family and whatnot. And so like that kind of opened him up. And then I think Tayshia got emotional just hearing him talk about it. And then they started talking about the Black Lives Matter movement and just kind of how that affected them. And Tayshia just like breaking down crying. And I think she was a little bit caught off guard at how like deep and real like the date got, but in a good way. And it was, I don't know, for me, it was just really refreshing to see like just something so real on the show, like real conversations and like real emotions. And I think it's easy probably as the lead, to just stay lighthearted and try to make everything fun so that things aren't awkward if some connections are weird or whatnot. But it just really feel like it just like all those walls just kind of like broke down between the two of them, and they just had like a real honest conversation, like let each other like cry a little bit and get their emotions out. And I don't know, I just got the sense that like Tayshia's kind of like covered up some of the hard shit she's probably gone through this year with like the excitement of the show or whatnot. And so I don't know, it was just nice, and they ended up having a really nice connection, and then they finished out the night. I don't know, they made out a little bit, so that's good. Hopefully there's some sexual tension there, but I'm not quite sure. And so that was just like such a cool moment for the show, I feel. So then we pan to like another group date, and they brought in Becca and Sydney, did this like truth or dare date. I have never laughed so hard watching the show, no offense, Wells, in my whole life. Like, perfect. These girls put up stations around La Quinta and had them do these dares, and one of them, it was the funniest shit. One of them was like, they had a hotel telephone set up in the yard, and the guys had to like talk into the telephone. And I think the thing was, you have to verbalize an orgasm for a full minute through the hotel telephone, but it was broadcasting out to everyone. Like everyone could hear them for the full 60 seconds. And it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my whole life. Like the girls were just losing it. I don't know. It was just really fun to watch. Like everybody genuinely like crack up and have such a good time. So they have these stations. One of the dares was to eat a habanero pepper. Ooh. And then propose to Tayshia.
Wow.
And I'm like, all right, I get it. It's funny to like eat a pepper and then like have to like do a speech or whatnot. But part of me was like, isn't it a little weird to do a mock proposal, to like fake something that's actually like so serious and that you somebody actually might do at the end of the show? I don't know. I felt a little weird about it.
A habanero pepper will fucking light you up from tip to tail.
I wouldn't know. But I was shocked at how like it actually didn't affect that many of them. There was one of them that just like was like had a bucket, like a barf bucket. I can't remember which one. But the others actually like really pulled it together. And it was actually kind of funny because while they were talking, their eyes were just like pouring water. So it looked like they were crying during their proposal. But your boy Bennett, he gets like real deep and serious. And then later on in the night, he's like, I had a moment during the proposal. It felt real to me. And like they shared a moment. But I don't think Tayshia likes Bennett. But it was cute to see him have a moment.
Is that everything?
Oh, the other funny part, this was like right before you called, I watched this. So like it's the end of the night, like all the dates have happened, rose ceremony is looming. And remember Ben last week, he did the weird thing where he waited all night, never got time, and then had that awkward exchange. So yeah. Ben's like, I'm going to go to her room and talk to her. It's like 2 a.m. He's like, I'm just going to go talk to her. I can't go into the rose ceremony without talking to her. And then shoulder guy, what's his name?
Ed.
Ed does the same thing. So you got two guys.
Oh my God. Going
to Tayshia's room in the middle of the night or whatnot, and you're like thinking they're just gonna run into each other at her front door. All of a sudden you see Ed ring a doorbell and Chris Harrison answers the door. And the producers, like both these guys are like, we want to go hang out with Tayshia. And the freaking producers for sure like gave Ed directions to Chris's room.
Yeah.
And Chris opens the door and Ed's like, oh, is Tayshia here? Like they're rooming together or something creepy. And he's like, no, this is my room. But do you want to come in and have a drink? And he's like, sure. And he just comes in and has a drink with Chris. They're like, forget Tayshia.
I can't wait to see that episode because I went to Chris's room when I was there. Was there a golf net up in the room for him to hit golf balls?
You know what? They didn't actually like show the inside of the room. They just show him going in to have a drink. So I don't know, but it was very funny.
All right. BTS of Chris Harrison on this set. Okay. So he has like this huge villa to himself. He had set up a golf net simulator thing. So he's able to like practice his golf swing in there. And then he had his bicycle and then his electric scooter. He had so many toys. I was like, Chris, how fucking old are you right now? You've got a golf net in here. You've got a projector. You've got your bicycle. It was the best. So if I was Ed, I'd be like, I'd look in there. I'd be like, there's a lot of toys in here. Yes, I'd like to go in there and have a drink.
Ooh, that's as far as I got.
Can we talk about how Rye's big into DMCs?
Have you ever heard that term before?
No.
I've heard the term DTR. Do you know what that is?
Define the relationship.
Yeah. So I know about the DTR conversation, but yeah, I've never heard the term DMCs, but Rye throws it around like it's a thing.
So it's a deep, meaningful conversation.
Yeah.
This is what we know about Rye. He's big into panos and he's big into deep, meaningful conversations.
So much so that he's got the slang DMC.
He's got an acronym for it.
An acronym. Yeah.
Oh man, I love that big DMC guy over here.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, is that enough, Bachelor? I didn't even watch it. Is that enough?
I think so.
Okay. All right, Brandi, here's the deal. Gathering friends and family for Thanksgiving might be kind of challenging this year because, you know, the Rona. That doesn't mean we can't feel close with Storyworth. Remember Storyworth?
I remember you got this for your dad for Father's Day?
Yeah. So basically, for a year, Storyworth sent him emails asking him questions about his life growing up, who his parents were, some of his dreams and aspirations, favorite memories, and then they compiled it into this amazing book. After a year, they sent my dad the book and they sent it to me too. And I went through every page and I was crying like a baby because it was so freaking cute. And now you know what I'm gonna do for Christmas this year? I'm getting everyone in my family the Storyworth book that my dad created over the past year.
Honestly, it's such a great idea. I feel like buying gifts gets harder and harder the older we get. It's like, what do you get? People that you love. This is so unique and so personal. Give your loved ones the gift of spending time together wherever you live with Storyworth. Get started right away with no shipping required by going to storyworth.com/YFT.
You'll get $10 off your first purchase. That's storyworth.com/YFT for $10 off. Serious, guys, this book is so awesome. All these stories no one in my family knew anything about. I'm telling you, Storyworth is really, really cool. You guys are going to love it.
Wells, I talk about it a lot, but I love my Theragun. And you know who else loves my Theragun?
Rye.
Yep. I have created an absolute monster. It started out with like he would Theragun me. Like my shoulders are always so tense because like I'm sitting at a computer all the time talking to you and my legs hurt from riding horses. And for a minute there, I had him massaging my legs, my back, and everything for me. Then I did it to him one time and now it's all I do. When we're watching TV, he's like, yeah, we'll watch what you want to watch if you Theragun me the whole time. At this point, it's become a complete bonding experience. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, the Theragun is a handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combination of depth, speed, and power. And now it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush, which makes it perfect for watching shows.
So try Theragun risk-free for 30 days. There's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4 with the OLED screen, personalized Theragun app, and the quiet and power you need.
Starting at only $199, guys, this is the perfect gift. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine anyone not loving this when they open it. Just go to theragun.com/YFT right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today.
That's theragun.com/YFT.
Theragun.com/YFT.
I've got a bone to pick with you.
Okay.
I watched a little film the other night called How Do You Know? Because Brandi said it was great.
Can't I remember what this is?
Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, Owen the baseball? Wilson. Where she's a softball player?
Yes.
Loved.
That is the worst movie I've seen in quite some time.
It's a chick flick.
No, I watched it with a chick who agreed with me. Not only is it a Hallmark Lifetime storyline.
Sometimes those are great.
Agreed. It's a Lifetime Hallmark storyline with A-list actors who are acting horribly.
Okay, what year did this come out? 2010, okay? It's ancient.
I know.
Cut them some slack. This was early in their careers.
I guess. As much as I love Paul Rudd, even he's bad. And as much as I love Jack Nicholson, he's terrible. Everyone is horrible in this film. I have to veto this for you. If people...
Oh, I love Paul Rudd in this.
Oh my God. He's such a dipshit.
That's why I love it.
Paul Rudd, how do you not know your dad's an asshole and totally fucking you over?
Because he's Paul Rudd. He's a dipshit.
You know, and Owen Wilson, he's pretty funny in it.
I love when Owen Wilson plays the douche. I stand by it.
No. How do you know? I do know. It's horrible. Don't watch
it. I liked it. Are you caught up on The Undoing?
I haven't watched like tonight's episode.
Okay, well, me neither, but other than that, are you caught up?
Yes.
If you guys haven't seen this and you're planning on watching it, just tune out for a quick 2 minutes because okay. I need to ask Wells an important question that is a spoiler.
Okay.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, go.
Go.
At this point, who the frick do you think did it?
Donald Sutherland is
That's
starting
what my
to
mom
be.
Said.
Really?
Yeah.
He's high on my list now. And so here is, this is why it's not been healthy for me to get engaged to Sarah. Because how Sarah watches movies, she's like, when someone is a big name playing a small character, she's always, nope, they're a big role. And it's Donald Sutherland being like, kind of like just the dad. Okay. No.
No, he really scared me in his little speech to the headmaster. His dark side came out.
Yeah. Well, and when he was telling Nicole Kidman about like how he had cheated on his wife and all this stuff. And you're like, whoa, okay, Donald Sutherland, did you have her killed? Like, what's going on here? So yeah, that's where I'm at on it. But it's great.
I still really think there's something weird with Nicole Kidman's character. And I think it's a bit too obvious for her to be the one that killed her. Because just with her walking by the studio and everything, like right by, like right when she was killed. I just think that's too obvious. But I still think that she is going to come. I think eventually we're going to find out that she's not mentally sound or something. Like, I still think that she's got a crazy side.
Well, yeah. Like, maybe she has an undoing.
Yeah.
Of some sort. You know? I don't know. But I will say, if you guys aren't on Undoing,
what do you do?
What are you doing? Do it.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's so good. Okay, we can stick with murder mysteries. I started watching a documentary on HBO Max. Have you heard of Murder on the Beach?
No.
Oh, I guess I'm really early in on it, but it's Murder on the Beach, a 4-part documentary series directed by first-time filmmaker Madison Hamburg, examines Hamburg's complicated journey to solve an unspeakable crime and absolve the people he loves while seeking out answers within his own fractured family and community. It's this kid, Madison, who's making this movie about his mom who was murdered back in like 2010. All signs point to dad. It's him making this true crime documentary, talking to all his family, all his friends, his dad, trying to get them all on tape and stuff. And it's pretty creepy and amazing, but it's right now there's only 2 episodes out. So you're just like, right now I'm just like, the dad did it. Of course the dad did it. What are you talking about? And of course there's like police corruption and yada, yada, yada. Anyways, Murder on the Beach. Dude, okay. I think you'd like it actually.
That sounds great. Speaking of murder, have you watched The Big Sky premiere?
I didn't get to see it. Is it great?
It is so good. Okay, so there's only 1 episode out.
Yeah.
A lot happens. Like, it just, like, starts and just bang. Like, things just start happening. Like, they really, there's no slow first episode introducing you to everybody. Like, it's just like, bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
So episode 1 opens with blonde chick. I don't know anyone's name yet. Blonde chick confronting the other chick for sleeping with her husband, who's Ryan Phillippe, and they get in a fist fight, episode 1, ooh, black eyes on both of them or something.
Oh, no.
And then you got some psychotic nightmare of a dude driving a semi truck who's completely off kilter, who kidnaps a hooker at a truck stop and he's like attacking people with a taser. It's a freaking nightmare. Do you know how easy it is to get a taser? It's the scariest thing I've ever seen. He like tases this chick, wraps her up, throws her in the back of his semi. It's absolutely nuts. And then he like picks up these other 2 young girls that are on a road trip. Like, this guy's psychotic. It's like dark. Like, I'm impressed. ABC, it is dark. There's lots going on. Ryan Phillippe's hot. I'm into it.
Hey, by the way, do you know what they call a prostitute that hangs around truck stops?
No.
This is my favorite bit of trivia. They're called lot lizards.
Lot lizards.
Yeah, man. So if you're ever driving around the country and you stop at
how do you know this?
I don't even know how I know it, but there are these ladies of the night who are truck driver hookers who are called lot lizards, and they will pick up, you know, truck driver, and then they'll do sex, and then sometimes the truck driver will drive them to a different truck stop to do lot lizard things in a new location.
How do you know this?
I don't know how I know it, but I know it, and they're called lot lizards.
Okay, well, that's what's happening. This chick is like, there's like a bunch of girls at this truck stop, like knocking on windows, and this one girl just jumps on into the cab of the semi truck to like do the dirty with the truck driver.
Oh my God, there's a lot lizard film? Oh my God. Okay, hold on. Urban Dictionary for lot lizards.
I still want to know how you know this.
Lot lizard, noun, trashy, street-level female prostitutes who frequent some truck stop parking lots and rest areas at night. Most lot lizards openly advertise using CB radios! No! Radio check 1-9, radio check 1-9. I got a lot lizard on my six. Using CB radios.
This is funny, but we just have to preface with like prostitution is not funny.
No, of course not.
I just had to say it. But yeah. But what you're saying is funny.
But it's the oldest profession in the world.
That's insane. So anyway, lots happening. It's action packed. I really do like it. It's set in Montana, which you know I love that. Anyway, big fan. Need more episodes. Stat. Rye watched it with me and he loved it. He was like, wow, I actually really like this show. I was like, same.
I like how we had to backpedal for our lot lizard contingency right there. That is the most 2020 thing in the world, is that we had to be like, but just so you guys know, we don't judge lot lizards. Like, there's a bunch of lot lizards that are listening to our podcast being like, I'm going to write a bad review. You don't know what it's like to be a lot lizard in this day and age. So insensitive, Wells.
I was just thinking more in the sense of a lot of women and children are sold into prostitution and the whole thing. So I just had to say.
All right, that's fair. But come on, it's just such a great name.
I had to say.
By the way, in the Urban Dictionary.
No, it's funny.
I'm not done yet.
It's funny.
I know. There are other names for them. One's commercial company. Not as interesting, but still alliteration. There's also a pavement princess.
Oh.
And then the sleeper leaper. Oh, and Mattress Maiden! What's with the alliteration, guys?
I don't know, but Lot Lizard's the best, because any of those other ones could be prostitutes anywhere else.
Totally true. But hold on. There is a movie called Lot Lizard that came out in 2016. Who's in it?
I don't know, but real quick, just to wrap up, Big Sky. Also, the end of the first episode is going to literally blow your mind.
Blow your mind.
I don't want to ruin it for you. Like, seriously, it's whoa.
Okay. It's on my list.
You got to go watch. All right, Wells, I feel like it's the end of the year and everyone has a lot more time for self-care. We all start thinking about, you know, working out, getting ready for summer bod, but also taking care of our skin, our hair. And I got to be honest with you. I have really fine hair. Thank you, Mom. I have been taking Nutrafol vitamins for a few months now. And you know what? I've tried different hair vitamins in the past. And with Nutrafol, I'm really seeing a difference. There are millions of women impacted by weakened or thinning hair. And I got to tell you guys, I'm really loving the results I'm getting with Nutrafol. They offer two targeted formulas for women that are clinically shown to improve hair growth and thickness with less shedding through all stages of life. Healthier hair growth takes time, and you'll begin to experience thicker, stronger, faster growing hair in 3 to 6 months when you take this stuff regularly.
Clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after 6 months, which is crazy. More than 1,500 top doctors recommend Nutrafol as an effective and high-quality solution for healthier hair. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and using promo code YFT. And new customers will get 20% off. This is their best offer available anywhere.
Plus, free shipping on every single order. Get 20% off at Nutrafol.com. That's spelled Nutrafol.com. And the promo code is YFT.
All right, Brandy, I have the perfect gift to send to your friends and family this year for the holidays.
Hit me with it.
Boozy Bites.
Can you send me some for Christmas? Thanks, bye.
Okay, totally. Remember those super cool, fancy Jello shots we told you about? Boozy Bites. They've added an awesome gift box to their online store. The box contains their game-changing edible cocktails, an adorable cocktail shaker, a disco ball wine tumbler, and delicious artisan cotton candy. They also added a new candy cane flavor, which is absolutely delicious. For a limited time, they are even including super cute wine charms with every holiday box. Truly the best gift for those hard to buy for people on your list.
Plus, we love Boozy Bites because they are vegan, 15% alcohol, very effective, and delicious. So they're perfect for everyone on your gift list. The bites come in adorable champagne-like cups. So when you want to eat them, you simply twist the stem and push it up. You never have to use your finger or your tongue to eat these shots ever again. They really are the classiest Jello shot and are perfect for all holiday get-togethers. Ryan and I have some ripe and ready for Thanksgiving this week.
The best thing is you can ship these directly to yourself or someone else, like Brandy, I guess. I gotta send her some. They stay good for 30 days without needing to go into the fridge. Go to www.boozybites.com and enter code favorite to get 15% off your order.
Do it.
We started watching this show on Showtime called Moonbase 8. Have you heard of it?
No.
Oh my God.
I don't have Showtime, I don't think.
Oh.
Gotta get?
If you gotta get it, you know? If you don't got it, don't get it.
Okay.
The cast is so good, but you might not like this because it's funny. So you're not a big comedy person.
No.
It's Fred Armisen. Do you know who that is?
Mm-hmm.
Portlandia, SNL, etc. Tim Heidecker. He was in Tim and Eric. Great job. A funny guy anyways. No. And John C. Reilly. Stepbrothers and whatever. So they star in this new comedy as three astronauts trying to qualify for their first lunar mission. They encounter obstacles along the way, including loneliness, self-doubt, and incompetence. John C. Reilly is the captain, okay? And they are, you know how like they'll have like fake moon bases in the desert? People will like pretend like they're on the moon to get ready to actually go to the moon or go to Mars or whatever. Do you know about that?
Yeah. I mean, I figured they had some sort of practice. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what this is. But it's those three guys, which is hilarious. And I will say this. For whatever reason, they have Travis Kelce, who is a tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's in the first episode. He's just a bad actor. He like plays a bully and it's kind of hard. Like, the first 20 minutes are pretty tough. And I'm going to spoiler for you just so you guys can get through it. He dies pretty quickly. And then once he's dead, the show is phenomenal. So you got to kind of bust through 25 minutes of it. And then it becomes so freaking funny. Because John C. Reilly is hilarious. Tim Heidecker is amazing. And of course, Fred Armisen is like, I don't know, one of the funniest guys in the world. We watched like five or six, or I don't know, maybe like three episodes. So good. Moonbase 8. If you got Showtime, get it.
I'm caught up on Grey's.
Yeah. You caught up on Station 19?
No. Do you want me to tell you what's going on in Grey's?
Not really, but...
It's very serious.
Okay.
Why do they have to do this to us?
What are they doing?
All right, guys, if you haven't watched Grey's, tune out for a minute.
Okay.
Literally 60 seconds. That's all it takes.
Okay.
Meredith Grey has...
Herpes.
The Rona.
Worse.
Seriously. Oh, so they've been like doing this whole like coronavirus parallel since the top of the season. And it was kind of annoying. I'm not going to lie. At first, I'm like, all right, all we hear about is freaking coronavirus. Like we watch television to get a break from it. And I was like kind of annoyed. Then they gave Meredith Grey the Rona. And now I'm hooked. I'm in. I'm locked into the season.
Is she okay? Is she on a respirator? What's happening?
You know, Meredith, you watch Grey's, you know that she has very specific instructions. She does not want to be put on a ventilator. She does not want to be kept alive. You know, if she loses brain function, she's like very serious about that whole thing.
Yeah, you gotta be.
So there's a whole lot going on right now. Like her family is begging her to reconsider and be, you know, put on a vent if she needs it because she's got coronavirus and her symptoms are very bad, but she's having all these dreams about Derek, who's dead, and they're on the beach, and she's running to Derek, and I'm like, don't do it. Don't run to Derek, because then you'll die and be with dead Derek.
Yeah, dead Derek.
Oh, it's very stressful.
Man. Dead Derek, lot lizards. I mean, it's the world coming
to. Anyway, that's what's going on in Grey's, in case anybody was wondering.
Sarah and I started watching a show called Friends from College. Have you ever heard of that?
I feel like I have heard of that.
It's not new. It's Keegan-Michael Key is the main guy. And then the girl from How I Met Your Mother. Do you know who that is?
No, I never watched that.
You didn't watch? Really?
Yeah, no.
Oh, well, How I Met Your Mother is pretty great.
Really?
Yeah, it's a pretty great show. Last couple seasons, they were like just trying to keep it going, you know, because you're like,
how long has this show been on? Is this like a 90s show?
Yeah, it's over now, but. Yeah, it ran, I don't know, 7, 8 seasons. And I think at the end there, it was kind of like they were grasping for straws. But anyways, so it's Keegan-Michael Key, Kobe Smulders. She was the Canadian on How I Met Your Mother. She's also in like Avengers.
Oh.
Fred Savage, Wonder Years. Nat Faxon, who is in like a bunch of stuff. He's a really funny guy. Oh, Billy Eichner, is in it. He's the guy that does like questions on the street, you know. He was also in Parks and Rec. The cast is phenomenal. The show, I think, is canceled. There's two seasons, 2017, 2019. And here's the tagline.
20 years after graduation, a tight-knit group of college friends reconnects and discovers that love hasn't gotten easier with age.
I'll give you kind of like the quick rundown. It's a dramedy, okay? Mm-hmm. I would say it leans more comedy than drama, but I don't know. Keegan-Michael Key is married to the girl from How I Met Your Mother, okay? They're moving to New York, where all their friends from college are living. I guess they all mm-hmm. went to Harvard together.
Can they spell limousine?
I don't know. Probably not. Keegan-Michael Key has been having an affair with one of the friends from college for the past like 5 years, and now they're living in the same city, which is making things weird. Some people in the friend group know about it. Some don't. There's a lot of tension. Fred Savage plays a gay man to Billy Eichner. Billy hates all these people, thinks they're just fucking idiots. Nat Faxon plays like the trust fund baby who like has more money than God, but doesn't have a job and just kind of sleeps around. I don't know. There's just a lot of really great characters and like really, really funny scenarios, but then also like really like tough things because like people are covering up for people's infidelity and there's a lot of lies being told and it's really, really funny, but really, really tough, but also really good. So anyways, Friends from College, man, really good.
Where do you watch that?
This is on Netflix, I believe.
Netflix.
I think you'd like it, actually.
Yeah, sounds good.
I think actually it's enough not comedy for you.
Okay, that's good.
I finished the new J.K. Rowling book, The Ichabod.
Oh, really?
I did. Okay, so here's the thing about The Ichabod. I realized that Harry Potter was for kids, but adults can read it too. Remember when I went through like the entire Harry Potter? There was like a whole bit we did on this show.
One could never forget.
It was actually beloved by YFTers out there. It was almost as beloved as Panos.
Panos.
But I will say this is even more childish.
Oh.
It's really more for kids than Harry Potter was, but I will say this, though. I really, really liked it. It reminded me a little bit of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, or...
Oh, yeah.
It's like that kind of age. Do you know how Animal Farm was about, like, communism?
Yes.
And it was, like, a way for kids to understand communism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all had to read it, and then all of a sudden your English teacher would be like, okay, so let me tell you what this is really about. And you're like, what? Whoa, no way.
Yeah.
I do think that that's what this book is.
Ah.
It's, and you can kind of create your own analogies to what this book is trying to be analogous towards, but I have my own theories. Anyways,
The Ichabod is set in the mythical land of Cornucopia, which is ruled by King Fred the Fearless. The Ichabod is a legendary monster that is said to inhabit the marshlands of the north, used to explain the disappearance of sheep and people that wander into the marshes, and used to scare children. The south of Cornucopia is a prosperous area, with cities each specializing in different foods, in contrast to less wealthy north, known as the marshlands.
So here's the thing, like, it's like this utopia. It's this amazing kingdom. No one wants for anything. They make amazing food. There's like one town that makes amazing cheeses, one town that makes amazing like meats and that kind of stuff. And then like one town that makes amazing wine. And then there's like the marshlands up north that's like everyone kind of like frowns upon it. And it's like, that's like where all the poor people live. This guy who lives in the marshland, he says his dog goes into the marsh and gets eaten by the Ichabod, which is like this giant creature that like roams the marshlands. So he goes and tells the king, and the king's like, that is unacceptable. We need to go up to the marshlands and we need to kill the Ichabod and save your dog. And then what ends up happening is... I don't want to ruin it. Basically, the people below the king start using the Ichabod as a fear tactic to like raise taxes amongst the people of Cornucopia. and they start imprisoning people, and then they create this sect of the army that needs to be paid for by the taxes of the people to protect people from this scary thing, which is the Ichabod, which is no one believes it's real, you know? My theory is on the whole thing is it's an analogy for, I think, what like Hitler did. I could be totally wrong on this. It's a way to explain to kids how people can use power and fear to make a lot of people go into poverty is what ends up happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very interesting. If you got kids and you love J.K. Rowling, well, some people don't like her right now, but you know what I'm saying? Ichabod, pretty good. Do you have any Muzaks?
Oh, do you have some Muzaks?
You do?
Yeah.
By the way, Highs and Lows by Alexander Jean. They hit me up saying thanks for us putting them on the show. So there you go.
Oh, really?
TikTok to YFT, back again.
Well, do you know what I'm going to play?
Miley and Dua Lipa.
You know it. Is it so good or is it so good?
Who doesn't love Cyrus Miley?
I mean, okay, so I've been hearing the song for a while now.
Yeah.
But and I listened to it in the car today once, just one time. And it has been stuck in my head all day.
Oh, man. You know what that is? That's a bop. Why can't you just let me go? Prisoner, locked up. Can get you off my mind, off my mind. Lord knows I tried a million times. I mean, I will admit that it's a bop.
Bop.
So 80s, man.
Miley's going down this whole 80s rock and roll train.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with it, you know?
Yeah, she's into it. Honestly, I think it this style of music, she can sing anything. She just has that voice. She literally can sing anything, and she sounds great. But to me, this like rock and roll vibe, I think complements her voice the best. Like it shows off her vocal range and just like that raspy quality of her voice better than almost anything, I think.
Yeah.
I've always been a Dua Lipa fan, so I love this collab.
I mean, who doesn't love Dua Lipa?
Who doesn't love a collab?
Right?
Speaking of collab.
Yeah.
Song number two.
Okay.
Have you listened to Monster by Shawn Mendes and Justin Bieber?
It's funny because I play your stuff a lot. Their stuff shows up in my release radar.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
You know?
I was 15 when the world put me on a pedestal. I had big dreams of doing shows and making memories. Made some bad moves trying to act cool, upset by their jealousy. Lifting me up, lifting me up. Turn me down, turn me down,
down.
I take responsibility for everything I've done. Holding it against me like you're the holy one.
I mean, that doesn't seem fair.
To have them two on a song?
Yeah, like Miley Cyrus and Dua Lipa and Shawn Mendes and Justin Bieber. Like, come on, guys. That's not...
Big week for music.
Yeah, that's not a level playing field at all.
Got one more.
Okay, what is it?
Remember Augustana?
Yeah, man.
They have a new song out called Take. Bit of a departure from the first two songs I've played, but man, the nostalgia gets me.
Yeah, Boston and Stars and Boulevards, man. That was the jams.
Their self-titled album is still, to this day, one of my favorite albums of all time.
Yeah?
I loved them.
I did like some Augustine. Now with a word left in my lungs, don't want to leave anything on the table, no. Cause I can't take it with me when I go. Let's go back to the place before we forget it, where we left it. Cause I know it'll change, we're gone in a second, if we let it. I feel that.
It's good. His voice is just epic.
Yeah. Agreed. I saw Bonnie Light Horseman have a new song out called Clementine.
Maybe the whole thing's wrong. What if she thinks so? We just didn't say so. Drank yourself into slow-mo. Made an angel in the snow. Anything to pass the time. Keep that song out of your mind. Oh my darling. Oh my darling. Oh my darling. Clementine. Dreadful sorry.
I like Bonnie Light Horseman.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, it was chill. And then I did see that my boys, KG Elephant, have some new shit.
Oh.
Track called
I haven't heard from them in a minute.
Dude, they're the best. What are you talking about? They won a Grammy last year for rock album.
That was a year ago.
True. Watch the fades and falls into another. I'm not getting any further. Left you feeling like an alien. All the shiny sidewalks, they were lying. Lost myself while I was hiding. And the heart was low, but I never was alone. I never was alone. I've been running for so long. All that's left is skin and bone. Close my eyes, fight to carry on. Sometimes it makes no sense at all. If I stumble, will I fall? If I fall, I tuck and roll. Close my eyes and let the love light guide me home. Let the love light guide me home. Oh, I like that too.
I like that a lot, actually. I almost like that better than some of their previous stuff.
There are very few rock stars left on this earth, and the lead singer for Cage the Elephant is definitely one of them. Did you know that I almost did a podcast with Brad Schultz of Cage the Elephant talking about sports?
What?
Yeah, I've recorded. I still have the audio somewhere. He wanted to do a podcast talking about sports, and I was like, and he was like, but I'm not a radio person, so I need someone to kind of like keep us on the tracks. And I was like, okay, I would love to do this. So I'd go and have beers with them, and then we'd go sit in the studio and we would fucking talk about baseball.
That's the most random thing I've heard in a long time from you.
Yeah, I know.
But cool.
You got anything else?
That's all I got.
I mean, like all the things we could go out on, you know.
What's going to be the thing? Oh, yes.
Right?
Yep.
Hey, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Ryan and I are just staying here and having a cute little Thanksgiving of our own.
What are you thankful for these days, Brandi?
Right.
Yeah? Panos?
Yeah. Panos.
Are you going to sit around, eat a turkey, look over your old panos, have some DMCs, and then make sweet, sweet love?
Pretty much, yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm thankful for you,
pretty much,
Brandi.
Yeah. Aw, thanks, Wells. I'm thankful for the YFTers.
Oh, I was thinking that you were going to be like, yeah, I'm thankful for you too, Wells, but that didn't happen right there, so.
No.
Got it. You know what? I think I'm just going to go to Boston. Oh, it's just versed early on it.
Great song.
Well, I'm thankful to all the YFTers out there as well. And you know what? I'm thankful to Lot Lizards because they are providing a service that is necessary because we need our goods shipped to us. And those guys need sexy time.
Yes.
They need sexy time. Okay? You know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know. All right, I gotta get it.
Okay.
Chicago to Boston. Okay. Did it.
This podcast has been brought to you by Podcast Nation.